morning. And welcome to worship with Trinity this morning. We are so glad that you are here. And you know, all those folks who didn't get their clocks changed, they had a second and third chance this morning. But for those who don't make it to this one, they don't have any more chances. But we are glad that you sprung your clock forward and are here with us for worship today. I'm Catherine Fluck Price. I'm one of the pastors of Trinity and really glad to be here. I hope that sometime during the service this morning you will take your connection card out of your bulletin and fill that out for us. If you're new, if you'll provide as much information as you are comfortable providing, and if you're here on a regular basis, if you'll at least give us your name or an email, it really helps us to be able to stay connected with you. Also, you can do that online if you have the app or using the QR code in your bulletin. We're happy for you to register that way as well. This morning, our Mission Box opportunity is for Calls to Action. Each week at Trinity, we have wooden boxes that are by all of the exit doors, and it's an opportunity for us as a congregation to support an organization or ministry anywhere from right here in our community to around the globe. This morning is Called to Action, and Called to Action does both of those things. It is an organization that, or a ministry that provides basic needs for people, housing and meals, beginning here in the community, but also going around the globe. Jamie Betts is back out at a table in the narthex, and I hope that afterwards you'll go up and find out more about that ministry and find ways that, as well as supporting it with your dollars, you can support it with your hands and feet and being a part of that ministry. You know, at Trinity, we hope that everyone who comes here feels like Trinity is home or will find a place here where they feel at home. And so this morning I say to you, welcome home. So let me invite you to stand up now and say hello to someone near you. Please introduce yourself if you don't know their name, and say hello if you do. It's okay to not know their name. Just ask.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's begin our worship service together by singing our opening hymn.
God, we have come, for here we know that you are present and ready to meet us. Through the mystery of your Holy Spirit, may we encounter your grace. May we experience our lives being transformed through worship. In Christ's name, we pray. We'll join together in one of our affirmations of faith, if you'll follow along on the screen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
I want to invite some people up for a special time of commissioning. We have just had a group of folks go through, come on up, friends, Stephen Ministry training, and we want to introduce these persons to you and also to offer a blessing as they begin their work. So Catherine and Lynn are going to tell you a little bit more about that.
We are grateful for Stephen Ministry, that is a ministry of Trinity. Trinity has a rich, long history of Stephen Ministry. And these are folks who come alongside people when they are having a need, anywhere from a serious crisis to something that's just a struggle, that they need some support for a period of time. They are listening friends who can support people going through those difficulties. We often think of Stephen Ministers as providing aftercare after the loss of a job, after a death in the family, after a divorce. And it can also be during. It might be during a difficulty with a teenager in the home, a difficulty with caring for elderly parents. It could be anything going on. And these folks come alongside. And they've gone through significant training. Some of these, most of the folks up here have just been trained, but we also have other student ministers as well. And Lynn is the leader of that ministry, and we are grateful for your leadership and would love for you to take a moment and introduce all of these folks. Hang on, I'm going to get you a microphone. Thank you, Pastor Steve. I'm proud to introduce these folks this morning. I want to say we have three people from Grace United Methodist that we have trained with our group, and because they're renewing their Stephen ministry there. And we also have Pastor Levi, who is the associate pastor at Grace, came this morning to support those three people. So the three people from Grace I will introduce first, and that is Kathy Bolton,
Sue Hart and David Harper, and then our new student ministers from Trinity are Brett Cornelson, Linda Burgess, Buzz Healy, Marty Healy, Holly Morris, and Ellen Nodine. Those are our new student ministers.
So I'm going to ask these student ministers a question as we commission you. Because you have promised faithfully to serve God with God's people as student ministers, I commend you to the care and guidance of the Holy Spirit as you in turn care for others. If you will use these skills you have learned, releasing the gifts and talents the Spirit of God has given you, so that you might be a blessing to other people, to the people that you meet and care for, will you please respond? I will. And I'm going to invite us all to pray for these Stephen ministers. And as we do, if your Stephen minister standing up here, I hope that you will reach out and touch one of them. And you as a congregation, I invite you to lift your hand toward them as a sign of the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon them as they go about this work and ministry. So let's pray together. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on each of these new student ministers so that they may generously reflect your unfailing love to those that will be recipients of their care. Walk with them, guiding and sustaining them in this ministry that you have called them and gifted them to serve in. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. So why don't you welcome these Stephen ministers.
Shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your words in foreign lands, and shall see the face of God and live. Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come, follow me, and I will give you rest.
come this week and every week, and ask you for the courage, for the strength, for the joy of giving back to you. So bless the gifts that you give this morning. May they be used for the work of your ministry in and through Trinity and across the world. In the name of Christ we pray.
Some of you know that Bree is on staff here as worship arts assistant. If you didn't know it before today, you will surely know it after today that Bree is an artist. And so as I preach, she's going to paint. And it's okay if you get distracted, because there's a message in what she's doing over here as there is a message over here. So I invite you into this multi-sensory way of experiencing the gospel this morning. We'll begin by reading our selection for the day that comes from the Gospel of Luke. You'll remember from last week that Catherine mentioned that in Matthew we get the Sermon on the Mount. And it's a collection, the largest collection that we have, of Jesus' sayings in any one place. In Luke, we get the Sermon on the Plain, which is not quite as lengthy as the Sermon on the Mount, but has some of the same material. And this selection today comes from that place. So rather than Matthew 7, I'll actually be reading from Luke 6 today, and you can follow along as I read. A good tree doesn't produce bad fruit, nor does a bad tree produce good fruit. Each tree is known by its own fruit. People don't gather figs from thorny plants, nor do they pick grapes from prickly bushes. A good person produces good from the good treasury of the inner self, while an evil person produces evil from the evil treasury of the inner self. The inner self overflows with words that are spoken. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this service, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives this morning. Amen. Among my fondest memories of my childhood are times when my parents and I traveled from Greenville, South Carolina, where we live, to Mississippi in order to see my relatives. Both sets of grandparents lived there, one in Jackson, one in Ellisville. I had an aunt and uncle and cousins. And so making that trip, usually twice a year, once in the summer and once at Christmas time, was always a real treat to get to see those family members and spend time with them. And one of my favorite things was to spend time with my grandpa, my father's father, in the backyard. Now, grandpa was a gardener and farmer, as well as a biologist and chemist. He loved to grow things, and in his backyard, there were these wonderfully majestic pecan trees, and there was a trellis or a lattice that was full of scuppernong vines. Now, I realized after the 8:15 service today that I would need to tell you what scuppernong vines are, because some of you aren't familiar with that. So a scuppernong is a kind of a muscadine grape. So it grows on vines. And the ones that Grandpa had were extensive, and they just kind of ran everywhere. So in the summer, whenever I would go to visit, he and I would go out in the backyard with buckets, and we would go to that lattice work and begin to pick the ripe ones off. And in the early days, there were many that I couldn't reach because I wasn't tall enough, and so Grandpa would either reach up and pick some, or sometimes he would reach up and pull a vine down so that I could be the one to pick it off. And then once we had buckets full, we would carry them inside to my grandmother, Grandma, who would then take those and use them for making things, particularly scuppernong jelly. And then at Christmas time, when I went at that time of year, it was after Grandpa had gathered up the harvest of pecans from the fall. And so at that time, he and I would sit on the back steps, just from the back, on the way from the back porch out into the backyard. And he would sit there with a nutcracker, and when I was old enough to start using one myself, he would hand one to me. And we would crack open those shells and pull out the meats and place them into a bucket that could then be taken inside to my grandmother and again be used for producing all sorts of wonderful foods. Those were special times. And in those moments that I spent with Grandpa in the backyard doing those things, he wasn't just teaching me something about pecans and scuppernongs. I was learning a lot about life, because in that time that we shared, it was time, fruitful time for conversation. And in the process, I was learning from the bountiful harvest of his life, who he was, the kind of man he was, a man of integrity and character, a man who was deeply ingrained in his faith in such a way that it shaped his very life. And so, as well as learning about fruit-bearing trees and vines, I was also learning about the fruit-bearing life of an individual. You know, that's a theme that shows up time and time again in the Scriptures, and it's in our passage for today, bearing fruit. And oftentimes when it shows up, there is a correlation that is made that's where the speaker is saying that the tree will be known by the fruit. Well, we certainly know that to be true. We name those trees and we refer to them by the fruit that they bear today, right? So in Grandpa's backyard, a pecan tree is a pecan tree is a pecan tree. And a scuppernong vine is a scuppernong vine is a scuppernong vine. When our children were growing up, Catherine and I would often go with them to North Carolina. We loved going there in the fall. We loved to be able to see the fall foliage in the mountains. But you know what also happens in early fall in North Carolina is that it is apple season. And so there are rows and rows of apple trees that you drive by. And an apple tree is an apple tree is an apple tree. So when we get to today's passage, there seems to be a similar idea being conveyed. But rather than focusing on a particular type of fruit or name of fruit, Jesus is focusing on the good and the bad. And so Jesus seems to say to us that a good tree is a good tree is a good tree. And that by extension then, in making the analogy with us as human beings, a good person is a good person is a good person. Or is it? It doesn't take us very long when we look at ourselves, or when we look at others around us, even those whom we love dearly, even those whom we think the world of and who we look up to realize that even the best of persons doesn't always get it right. We all fail along the way. We all stumble. We all fall down and have to be picked back up. And the Bible teaches us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which is why we need that wonderful grace that God brings into our lives. The witness of Scripture, if it is about anything, is not about the goodness of humanity, the good person, but about the goodness of God. Even Jesus himself, remember at one point when the disciples say something to him about being good, he says, "Why do you call me good? There is only one who is good, and it is God who is in heaven." A good tree is a good tree is a good tree. Even when we look back at the example of physical trees, we know that good trees can have bad seasons. Depending on the weather or depending on what happens, a good tree may not produce a good harvest in any particular season. And we know that even the best of trees can fall prey to disease and sometimes can even have to be cut down. And a seemingly bad tree doesn't necessarily have to always remain so. A bad tree can be nursed and pruned and fertilized and loved and treated and cared for in such a way that it begins to flourish and bear fruit again. So what is going on here? This is one of those moments where we realize that in order to understand what's happening in Jesus' words and in Scripture, we must go deeper. One of those places that reminds us that we can't just proof text and pick any one verse in isolation and decide that it applies just as is. One thing we can do is to look at the context of today's scripture. In the verses preceding these, Jesus is talking about what the character of the good life looks like and the way it gets lived out in outward form. And in the few verses right before these, we get that instruction about being careful not to try to point out a speck in someone else's eye when we have a log in our own. It's as if these two excerpts really belong together. They were not put there unintentionally or haphazardly. Maybe what Jesus is saying to us in the second is to remind us that it's not our job to be about the business of pointing out all the bad apples out there, because there's plenty of work for us to do on our own tree and our own fruit-bearing life. And not only that, but in the end, it will all get sorted out anyway, because the fruit will bear witness to the tree. And so if the tree isn't good, it will come out eventually. And if the tree is, that will come out eventually as well. Trees and lives, good and bad. Where is Jesus taking us here? Well, I think a clue for us is found in the last verse of our passage this morning. When Jesus says, a good person produces good from the good treasury of the inner self. In other words, it starts with your core. You know, in recent years, a lot of attention has been given to core health. Those muscles, those parts of our body that are in our trunk, part of our trunk, that if we take care of them, will help provide and foster better health for our whole bodies. An athlete who sufficiently exercises his or her core will be stronger and better able to perform. And any of us who exercise our core and give attention to that area will find our overall health improved. We will have better stability. We will have better balance. We will have better fitness. And we will be at less risk for injury and illness and for other things that can become debilitating for us. Core health, even though we may not see it or automatically pay attention to it, core health matters. So Jesus seems to be saying to us in this passage this morning that our core spiritual health matters. How we tend to the inner self matters. Recently, I have listened to and even participated in a couple of conversations that have happened in the wake of yet another mass shooting involving the death of children. And in these conversations, there has been talk about the culture of violence in which we live today, that there are so many images and examples and expressions of violence all around us, in our TV programming, at the movie theater, in the lyrics to music selections on the radio and on our Spotify playlists, in all sorts of ways. In video gaming, it is extensive, the culture of violence. Now, I don't necessarily believe, or I'm not necessarily saying, that there is always a direct correlation between what we hear and see and what we do. But I would suggest this, that what we feed on matters, and it affects our core being. So when we feed on a diet of violence, we are more likely to produce violence ourselves. When we feed on a diet of incivility, we are more likely to produce incivility. When we feed on a diet of sarcasm, we are more likely to produce sarcasm. When we feed on a diet of lust, we are more likely to get tangled up in the web of lust ourselves and produce the same. When we feed on a diet of gossip, we are more likely to participate in it and produce it as well. Conversely, when we feed on those things that the Apostle Paul describes for us in his letter in the New Testament in Galatians, when we feed on those kinds of things, like patience and kindness and peace and generosity and gentleness and self-control, when we feed on witnesses and experiences that nurture those fruits in us, then we are more likely to produce them as well. So the question for you and for me then is, what are we feeding on? What are we feeding our inner core? What's getting into the trunk that then affects all of our lives? We really must tend to the inner life. This past week, I picked up again a book that I purchased about a year or so ago. The title of it is What We Need Is Here, Practicing the Heart of Christian Spirituality. It's written by Roger Owens, who used to be at Duke Divinity School and met his wife and fellow clergy, Ginger, who actually was a young woman growing up in a church that Catherine and I first served many years ago. But Roger has written this wonderful little guidebook for us to get back to some of the things that we all need to be feeding on if we want to live the fruitful life. Practices of paying attention to the words of Jesus and of spending time in silence and of gathering with one another for worship, and of coming to the table of communion where we are fed as an expression of God's grace, and of being in ministry with and for not only one another, but with others who are different from ourselves. All of these ways in which we experience Christ with us and through which Christ feeds us. Who we are on the inside spills out into what we do and what we say on the outside. And so what we are putting in will often come out. As Jesus says in the passage this morning, the inner self overflows because the fruit is related to the trunk. Here's the good news for us. The good news is that even when we have neglected the tree God gave us, sometimes for quite a while, when we have failed to nourish and fertilize and care for that inner self, the trunk of that tree that God gave us, there is still hope. Even the seemingly bad tree or malnourished tree can be nursed back to health and to fruit-bearing vitality. When Catherine and I were living in Lakewood Ranch for many years, at some point along the way, we planted a couple of Japanese maple trees in our backyard. And for the first few years, those trees grew and flourished. Every spring, the green would come on. And then as we moved into the fall, those leaves would turn colors and create an array of colors for us. And then they would fall off. And then in the spring, the green would come back again. Until one spring, the green didn't come back. And so we went out to look at them, and upon closer inspection, we could tell that there was something that didn't look quite right about those trees. And we needed some help, so we called in a professional. And they came in, and they looked at the trees. And he said to us that there was no guarantee, but there were some things that we could do to try to care for these trees, and they just might be nurtured back to health and life. And so we did, and over time, sure enough, we began to see the green again, and then the turning into other colors, and then the dropping of the leaves, and then the green once again. The gospel reminds us time and time again that none of us is beyond hope. For all of us have sinned and fallen short. But God keeps wooing us back to who we are really meant to be. Because God does see the good. That good person that God created in the beginning. God does see the good and keeps drawing us toward that if we will allow it. So I ask you this morning, how's your tree growing? What are you doing to care for it? What are you feeding it? And what are you producing as a result? Because the inner self overflows. And God has called every one of us to bear good fruit. Fruit that lasts. Fruit that comes out of a life that can be a blessing to the world. For you, for me, in your lives, in my life, may it be so. We pray for you. So God, indeed, you fashioned each one of us, and you look at us, and you do call us. And on this journey of life, you keep inviting us to be restored in that image, not only for our own sake, but for the sake of your kingdom, for the sake of the world that you want to bless through everyone. Through Jesus Christ, who calls us and leads us, and by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. Amen.
We come to this table and we give thanks to God because it is good and right always and everywhere to give thanks to God, creator of heaven and earth, creator of each one of us. God formed us, fashioned us out of the dust of the earth, breathed life into us, and called us good. And yet we turned away from God and our love failed. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God's love for us remains steadfast. And ultimately, in the fullness of time, God came in Jesus Christ to show us how to live and to offer us a new way to be God with us. And through his life and death and resurrection, God gave birth to the church and called us forth to live a new life in union with Christ. We remember that Christ gave everything for us, and and was obedient even to the point of death, that we might be transformed and be bearers of good fruit. On the night before he died, Jesus took a loaf of bread and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and he said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he gave thanks to God again and said, gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So we come to this table. We come to this table to be fed and nourished, to be strengthened in our inner core, so that we might produce more fruit, produce good fruit, so that we might go out into the world to offer ourselves for others. Let me invite you to pray. God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us, gather here in the gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body of Christ, to strengthen us, to feed us, to nourish us, so that we can go out into the world as the body of Christ, redeemed and transformed by your love. We pray, oh God, that you would make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes again in final victory and feasts at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. We invite those who are serving to come and receive the elements from the papers. In Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table is a place where everyone is welcome. It's a place where we come when we are seeking Christ and seeking to be strengthened and made new to go out into the world and bear good fruit. So we invite all of you to come. You'll come out by the left side of your section. Come to the servers that are in front, either directly in front of you or all the way in front of your section. Turn to your seats by the other side. There's also gluten-free available on the outside, and so just come to those servers and they would be happy to serve you. And as you come this morning, I invite you to be in prayer, either in your seats or at the kneeling benches, and to listen for God and to be attentive to the fruit that God is calling you to bear, and to God's grace in your life as you are fed, to taste and see that God is good and will be with you to produce good fruit. Please come.
invite you to pray with me. Gracious and loving God, you have poured out blessing upon us. We give you thanks for this holy meal, this holy mystery in which you have given yourself for us. Grant now that we can go out into the world and strengthen our core so that we might be able to bear good fruit. So that for those to whom love is a stranger will find in us generous friends. In the name of Christ we pray.
Indeed, God's love has found us, and so God calls us to go out and to bear fruit so that the world might see and know God's love also. So go now, trusting in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the strength of the Holy Spirit.